I thank God for being in the presence and in the company of Prayer, Praise, and Deliverance Center. And we are having us a good time in our convocation this week.
Amen.
We are so excited about the topic of breaking generational curses.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And I am so excited that our prelip bishop, our first lady elect, and any of the deacons or evangelists or apostles or any other bishops that are in the house, thank God that you don't count it robbery to be here.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
Goodness Amen. That you said, you know what, I'm going to take some more time out this week and praise God, right?
Amen. Amen.
Well, I wanted to come to you today and just teach on a subject since we're talking about generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the state of our churches.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about why we don't have the power that Christianity used to have, it seems, in this world.
Uh-huh.
Seems like the enemy has taken over.
That's what it seems like.
But I just want you to know that there is an illusion in the house. And I'm going to bring a little light to some of that illusion.
Come on. Yeah.
All right.
So all week long, we have been talking about Deuteronomy 5. And I just wanted to remind us of a few chapters in Deuteronomy 5. And I'm going to start in chapter 6. And I'm going to go through chapter 10. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make you any graven images or any likenesses of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, hallelujah, not serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I want to come to you today to talk about looking behind the curtain, because God already said, if you don't follow my commandments, you don't love me.
That's right.
Didn't he tell us that?
That's what he said.
Well, see, one thing that I do know,
come on,
there are certain things that we are born with that if you don't know what they are and overindulge in them, you can create a curtain between you and God.
My Lord.
So I'm going to give you 9 saboteurs that I'm currently discovering in myself, because all I can talk about is shame. And all I'm going to talk about is sharing. So, number one,
come on,
the first saboteur that you need to be aware of is the controller. Well, let's talk about her. The controller.
The controller.
The controller. The characteristics of a controller, Sharon. I'm only talking to me, okay, y'all? If this hits any of y'all, just write it down, okay?
Right. Come on here.
The controller's characteristics are strong energy and need to control and take charge. Connect with others through competition, challenge, physicality, or conflict rather than softer emotions.
Amen.
Willful, confrontational,
come on,
straight talker. Amen. You know, the controller be like, oh, what you talking about? I'm telling you the truth.
I said it.
I said it. Push people beyond their comfort zone.
My God. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus.
Sharon, sometimes you come alive when doing the impossible and beating the odds.
Amen.
Stimulated by the connects through conflict. You're not happy unless you're in conflict with some. Come on. You have to have the last
word.
Come on now.
Come on.
Surprised that others get hurt.
Uh-uh.
What's wrong with you? Mm. What you crying for?
Uh-oh.
Huh?
Yeah.
I was just telling you the truth. Why your feelings hurt?
Uh-oh.
Huh? Mm. Intimidate others on purpose. Like that's your goal.
The control.
Oh, huh? In your face communication interpreted by others as anger or criticism. This controller can keep a curtain between you and God.
My God.
Because God never has ever tried to control his people. He gave us direction. He gave us commandments. He asked us to be obedient. But we still have free what?
Free will.
Uh-huh. Huh?
Yes.
But when you have an attitude, have anybody ever had the attitude? Oh, don't nobody run nothing up in here but me. I run all this up in here.
Come on.
You're not going to come in my house and tell me what to do in my house. Huh?
Uh-huh.
I run all this up in here.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
And is that just Sharon? Is Sharon on the one that... Huh?
No.
You come around my kids. Oh, you don't tell my kids what to do. I'm the only one that can talk to them. Huh?
Oh.
What's wrong with the schools today? That's what's wrong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the parents don't want nobody talking to their kids because they control that, right?
Yes.
The controller. All right? Here's some of the thoughts that a controller has. You are either in control or out of control. So they'd rather be in control, Sharon would rather be in control than out of control. Mm-hmm. Here's some more thoughts. If I work hard enough, I can and should control the situation so it goes my way.
My way.
What?
My way.
Huh?
My way. Come on.
The control.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I'm telling you, this controller can keep a wedge between you and God. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to talk about nine of them. And y'all take with what you do. Well, all I said was, well, where do I fit in? How many of these things do I have?
Uh-oh.
And how can I, after knowing this information, do something about it?
Do something about it. My God.
All right. And then I have the thought as a controller, others want and need me to take control. Like that's my job. You always coming to me for advice.
Jesus.
You always coming to me when you need some money.
Uh-uh.
You always coming to me when you're in trouble.
Come on, come on.
You need me to take control over your life. Huh? The control.
The control.
All right. Y'all ready for the next one?
Yes, ma'am. Bring it on.
All right, I'm telling you this. Listen, when I found out about these things that are already in our DNA, it's just when we overindulge in these areas that we create a gap between us and Jesus.
Absolutely, my God.
And as Christians, because we have entertained these nine saboteurs I'm telling you about, we don't understand that this is in between your relationship with God.
My God.
Number two,
The stickler.
The stickler. Perfectionalism. The stickler's characteristics: punctual, methodical, a perfectionist. Can be irritable, tense, opinionated, and sarcastic.
Ooh.
Highly critical of self and others.
Hold on. Oh,
a strong need for self-control and self-reliance. works overtime to make up for other sloppiness and laziness. You work overtime to make up for others' sloppiness.
Stickler.
And is highly sensitive to criticism yourself. Huh? Let somebody try to tell you about something you do. Oh, then you're upset. Sharon gets upset. Sharon's talking about Sharon. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about anybody. Sharon gets upset when you try to talk to her about something she doing. You know, because I have a little racket call. You don't tell me what to do. Absolutely. Have y'all ever got somebody told you something to do and you look at them like, you don't tell me what to do? Huh? I know you just didn't tell me what to do. Oh, yeah. This is Sharon. I'm talking about Sharon. Now, here's some of the thoughts of a stickler. This is what go on up in our head. This is what keep the gap between us and God. This is why Christianity doesn't look like it used to look in the past. This is why people don't know about aspire to be a Christian. And they running away from Christians because Christians haven't understood these nine things I'm giving you today. Mm-hmm. Here's what a stickler thinks about. Right is right and wrong is wrong.
Come on.
And I know the right way.
I own it.
Huh? I know the right way. Huh?
Come on.
If you can't do it perfectly, don't do it at all. Huh? Y'all know how we do. I might as well do it myself because you ain't gonna do it the way I want it done. Let me just do it myself.
I can't feel my toes.
Huh? Often, too often, have lax standards. I need to be more organized and methodical than others so things get done. Because you know I'm the only one that can get it done. Right. I hate mistakes. Ooh. What?
What?
Did you just make a mistake? Do it over. Do it again, because you just made a mistake. You ain't human. You don't do it over. Do it again. Huh? Right. The stigma. Right. Drives a wedge between you and God if you overindulge in these areas. Now, all these areas are good when they are balanced.
And balanced. Absolutely.
But when you overindulge in the area of your characteristic, you drive a wedge between you and God. These are generational curses because whatever you overindulge in, you're teaching it to your kids. You're teaching them exactly, and they are experiencing this characteristic of your personality.
All right. My Lord Jesus.
Ooh-wee.
Controller and the stickler.
Controller number one. The stickler is number two. Number three, the victim. Oh, Lord.
Come on,
Sam.
The victim.
Yes, Sharon, this part of your characteristics, if criticized or misunderstood, tend to withdraw, pout, and sulk. They hurt me. They hurt my feelings.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord.
They hurt my feelings. Fairly dramatic in temperament. Mm-hmm. When things get tough, want to crumble and give up. Oh!
Lord.
He left me, Jesus. I don't know what I'm going to do. He left me. My life is over. That man left me. Huh? Repressed rage results in depression, apathy, and constant fatigue. The victim. Get attention by having emotional problems or being temperamental and sullen all the time. Have you ever had people call you and every time you talk to them and say, how you doing? Oh, Lord. Well, Well, let me tell you.
I can't.
And I'm like, do you have anything you're waiting for? Every time I talk to you, you don't have nothing good to say about God has done anything for you. Every time you talk to him, oh, I'm just so sick and tired. I just can't do it no more. And I'm going to tell you this, and you can just take it for what it is. Some people don't want advice. They just want to be heard.
That's it. They want to dump on you.
Huh? Because if they call you more than 16 times and still got the same problem, and you done gave them 16 different ways to take care of that problem, they don't want your advice. They just want some attention. The victim. I'm trying to tell you, being a victim, and you know God made you in the image of himself. He could have made you a snake, a rat, a roach, a dog, a cat. And then you want to operate like a victim?
Jesus.
And he gave you dominion over this earth?
Come on.
I'm telling you, you got a curtain that you don't know about between you and the God that you serve.
Amen.
All right, that's three of them. The controller, the stickler, and the victim. Number four. Ooh, I'm so tired of myself already. I don't even know about anybody else. I have all these. I don't know about anybody else. Can I tell you about
Amen.
Me?
Amen.
I done seen myself in all those three. I'm like, Lord, no, I ain't looking here about the other six.
Me
right?
Me too.
Huh?
I don't even know my toes.
Hyper-rational. Number four, hyper-rational. I'm learning this about myself. Hyper-rational.
Okay.
All right. Now, the characteristics of hyper-rational. Intense and active mind.
Oh, Lord.
Sometimes coming across as intellectually arrogant or secretive. Private and don't let many people into my deeper feelings. Mostly show feelings through passion and ideas. Prefer to just watch the craziness around me and analyze from a distance.
Amen. Amen.
You know how we do in our family. We know some stuff going on crazy. But do we open up that Bible and show our son and daughters what God says about homosexuality? Did I say that? Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
I said it. Mm-hmm. Do we tell them that it's wrong? Do we show them the scripture?
Come on.
Or do we just say, well, that's my son, that's my daughter. That, you know, I don't want them not to like me for telling the truth. Oh, we, oh,
come on,
Sharon. Sharon.
It's the truth, anyhow.
Ooh. High penchant for skepticism and debate. Like, you're not going to win this argument. You're just not. The hyper-rational thinks if I'm not rational, I'm irrational. So here's what I think as hyper-rational. The rational mind is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good to go as long as I'm rational. What you talking about? What I'm saying to you is right. Mm-hmm. Feelings are distracted and irrelevant. That's what we think in our mind. Our feelings, they're irrelevant. And many people are so irrational and sloppy in their thinking. In other words, you dumb. You ever said that in your mind to somebody, look at that dummy. That dummy don't even know. You ain't never said, Sharon done said it. Huh? I mean, is that stupid or what? This direct hyper-rational. That is so stupid. Why would they do that? I need to shut out intrusions. Needs and emotions of others, yes, distracted me from my projects. You're not going to ever take the blame. It's somebody else's caused you to do that. In other words, I don't go to church because my husband didn't get up and get dressed. Huh? I don't know, y'all was connected or you Siamese twins. I just wanted to know if something, is your leg connected to his leg, your arm connected to his arm. I mean, I just want to know why does him not or her not getting dressed for church have anything to do with you getting your hips in church?
Come on.
And then you're going to say, I'm a Christian. And your kids looking at you like, you just cussed me out in the parking lot. What you talking about? Sharon, only one done did that. Them kids cutting up in front of the preacher. And you done got them out there in the parking lot. And if anybody had a camera on you,
right to jail.
They would have said, what in the world? Who is that out there cussing them kids out in the church parking lot? I'm only talking about Sharon, okay? Let me just move it right along. until we learn better, we don't think, I promise you, I didn't know that what the information I'm giving you today had a gap between me and Jesus.
My Lord Jesus.
I didn't understand. I would say, well, that's just how I am, and God knows how I am. He all made
right.
me.
All right.
God made me.
All right.
He knows I'm a controller. I'm a stickler, and I play a victim when I get ready, and then I'm hyper-rational when I want to be right. He know that. I don't need to. Look, God already know me.
Yes. That's good.
Mm-hmm. But you're not looking at the example you're setting for the very people that you're trying to save.
My Lord Jesus.
How can you compel something that you are a part of? Mm-hmm. It takes separation. It also takes distinguishing good from evil.
Thank you.
And if you can't have some enough good in you to where somebody says, what is it about you? I don't know what it is, but when I come in your presence, I just want some of what that is. And you can say, it's called Jesus.
Yes.
But you can't say that if they got a bottle of something to drink and you do too. And it ain't water.
Hallelujah.
Huh? You sure can't do that if you sitting up here with
come
something between
here.
Your two fingers.
Uh-uh.
And y'all having a conversation out at work.
Mm. All right.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you doing what the world is doing,
you don't have no power. Come on.
You don't have no power.
Right.
There is nothing you can say to them that they gonna believe. Because they are going to tell you.
Yes, sir.
You doing what I'm doing. So why do I need to follow your God? All right, let's get on to number 5.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. Ooh, hyper-achiever. Hyper-achiever. I'm learning about these things about myself. Matter of fact, God brought a particular course to me 2 weeks before I found out that I would be speaking here.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
All right.
Let me tell you, God will give you what you need, when you need it, how you need it, and who you need it to do it with.
Come
because
on.
I had no idea that I was going to be speaking today. And when I found out, God said, I know exactly what I want you to share.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the most profound Christians who have reached the ranks in Christianity are still dealing with these things that I'm sharing with you today and don't realize that the true connection to the Savior has to have a balance of these things and not an overindulgence of these things. It's not a right or wrong situation. I'm just trying to snatch the covers off an illusion that the enemy has you at right now.
You better say it.
Hyperachiever.
Hyperachiever.
Dependent on constant performance and achievement for self-respect and self-validation. Well, you know, Sharon, she wanted to be All-American in basketball, All-American in volleyball. You know, I'm 2-something, I do something. I'm trying to tell you. I'm 6'1", I'm tons of fun. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I can play basketball with the best of them, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, my mom's sitting right there. Brenda will tell you. She has so many trophies. She actually had to put some in a corner and make me my own space. Because there were so many trophies.
My God.
Oh, listen, if I'm going to be in something, I'm going to be the best at it. What? The hyperachiever.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing slacking, ain't nothing lacking. And honey, let me tell you something.
Come
if you
on.
Bring Sharon on the scene, it's about to go down like Charlie Brown. You understand what I'm talking about? That hyperachiever. Characteristics of a hyperachiever. I can only talk about Sharon.
Come on here.
Competitive.
Yeah.
Image and status conscious.
Yeah.
Good at covering up insecurities and showing a positive image.
Amen.
Ooh, that's the mask that we carry around.
My mask,
Yes.
Your mask can keep your gap relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. You got to uncover your mask. You got to be transparent and naked before God. You can't sit up here and act like you're happy and you're not.
And you're not.
Huh? Right. Adapt personalities to fit what would be most impressive to the other. Mm. Mm. Goal-oriented and workaholic streak.
Amen.
I know my mother and my family used to thought when I was working for one corporation for 16 years, every time there was a family reunion, Sharon wasn't there. Where was she? At work. If there was a death in the family, the funeral happened. Where's Sharon? At work. Mm-hmm. If there was a family trip or something that was getting ready to be done, when people would see my mother, well, where's Sharon?
At work.
Just working her fingers to the bone, hoping that man is going to give her a promotion. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. You're working and you're hoping that they're going to give you an increase at work because you're putting your trust where? In man.
In man.
God, glory be to God. Amen. I promise you, I have been so disappointed that I still did not get an increase, had a promotion and applied for jobs on my job, and didn't even get an interview and had to train the person that they
don't want in and made two times what I was making.
I need y'all to understand something. That's what's going to happen every time you trust me.
Amen.
But if you don't look at these nine saboteurs that's going on in your life and figure out where the disconnection with God is happening, you are going to be in an illusion that you somewhere you are not.
Mm. Wow.
All right. Here's some thoughts of this hyperachiever. I must be the best at what I do. If I can't be outstanding, I won't bother. Have you ever seen people like that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if I'm not the star, I don't want to play.
Lord Jesus.
Huh?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Or let me just say it another way.
Eye syndrome. Come
on. If I'm not on the program, I don't want to preach. Woo! Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Must be efficient and effective. Emotions get in the way of performance. Huh? That's the hyperachiever. All right, we're moving it right along, y'all. I don't know if I even want to talk about this one right here. Are y'all ready for this next?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I need y'all to look. If you need some water, let me drink some water, because this one right here. Drink some water. If you ain't got no water with you, get some, because these next few. Next we have number six, the pleaser. Oh, hamburger, lettuce, and tomato.
And the cucumber, too.
All right. Indirectly tries to gain acceptance and affection by helping, pleasing, rescuing, or flattering others. Loses sight of own needs and becomes resentful as a result. That pleaser. Characteristics. Has a strong need to be liked by people. And attempts to earn it by helping, pleasing, rescuing, or flattering them. Y'all, my toes is hurting right now. Am I the only one got some toes hurting right now? Needs frequent reassurance by others about their acceptance and affection. Can't express own needs openly or directly. Does it indirectly by having people feel obligated to reciprocate care. How you gonna treat me like this after all I've done for you? Huh?
Good God.
Woo!
Strings attached.
Yep.
Yes. Can't express one's own needs openly or directly. Does so indirectly by having people feel obligated to reciprocate care. You mean to tell me, you're going to tell me no after I done took you to your basketball games and done had to pay $10, $12 to get in there to see your behind sit on the bench, and I asked you to come down here and get me a drink of water?
Huh? Somebody stop us.
How dare you?
Come on.
What? And my feelings will be hurt.
Come on.
I asked you to take out the trash. And don't let me call you on your way home from work and ask you to bring me something to eat. You talking about, Mom, ain't you, why you didn't get your own self something to eat? I'm like, did they? I could have been wearing orange long ago, y'all. I'm trying to tell you. Huh? Huh? The pleaser.
Ooh,
hammer. Oh, y'all ready for the next?
Lord Jesus.
I promise you, I only got three more. We done covered six, and I'm already deep in it. I don't know about anybody else but me. I'm deep in it right now.
Your waist.
The avoider. Oh, my. The avoider. You know, the avoider always focuses on the positive and pleasant in any extreme way, avoiding difficult and unpleasant tasks and conflicts. I mean, avoid it like the plague.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't understand, and being a life coach for 8 years, you know, it's hard to help people understand that silence is still saying something.
Yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yes, ma'am.
When
yes,
you
ma'am.
Don't address a situation, you are condoning the situation to continue.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Silence is consent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So many people don't realize that avoidance sometimes is the worst thing you could ever do.
My Lord. Amen.
Characteristics of this avoider, Sharon. You know I'm only talking to Sharon. Avoid conflicts and says yes to things one wouldn't want. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever say yes and you know don't go where you don't want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just me.
No.
Downplays importance of real problems and tries to deflect others. Has difficulty saying no. Oh, my. Has difficulty saying no.
Mm-hmm. My Lord, my Lord.
I'm going to tell y'all something. If you want to be stretched thin, overworked, totally feeling overwhelmed, and feeling like you just don't know which way to turn, say yes to everything and everybody.
Just do that
all
part.
The time. Yes. Just do that.
Yes.
Now that resist others through passive aggressive means. Sharon, can you come to my birthday party? Girl, I will be there. And then don't show up. That's lying, ain't it?
That's lying. Mm-hmm. That's that lying.
That's that lying spirit. And we talking about generational curse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know lies had colors. Well, that ain't that bad. That's just a little light lie. You mean to tell me there's a black one, a purple one, a green one,
you got a white one,
a red one? Can somebody tell me when does lies have colors or designations? If you are willing to lie to a person in their face, the minute that lie fell out your mouth, you knew you wasn't going to that birthday party, Sharon. But you said, I'm going to be there. And had, look, you done forgot about it. As soon as they got out of your space, you done forgot the party even existed. Lying is a gap in your relationship with the Lord. And your attitude about lying is what's causing it. It's a generational curse. Because you know, sometimes Sharon didn't even care who she was lying to.
Lord Jesus.
And matter of fact, here's the worst part. I told a lie so much, I believe my own lie.
All right.
It became true to me. And something never happened. Can I just tell the truth about it? Can I tell the truth about Sharon? Honey, I could lie. Let me tell you something. I was one of those liars that would think about, well, what if they check this out? Then I got to make sure that's going to line up with this. And if they check this out, listen, if you got a mother like I got, huh, who could have been a CSI agent, huh, and you trying to skip out and go to a club somewhere and call yourself going to be over your friends, you better make sure all the people she would ever get in contact with line up with your lie. Am I the only one to do that? Let me tell you something about this aborting. We're going to avoid conflict. We're going to do that. Here's the thoughts of an avoider. This is just too unpleasant. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I let it go, it'll take care of itself. Wow. Now, y'all know it don't take care of itself. Right. Can I tell the truth about it? If you don't say nothing, it's going to continue to happen.
Absolutely.
If you know you're getting your butt beat every day. If you don't go and tell the cops, you gonna get your butt beat every day. If you know you being sexually molested and you don't tell your parents, I'm the only one ain't been through that. And you don't tell somebody what's going on, who gonna stop it? Cause you in the border. You hoping that they'll take care of itself.
Amen.
And then you get past the generational curse of this insecurity and all of this mess you done went through, and hating men because somebody done touched you when you was little and you didn't say nothing about it. Let me move on.
My Lord Jesus.
All right now, thoughts of an avoider. If I deal with this now, I will hurt her feelings or his feelings, and I'd rather not hurt their feelings. I don't want to hurt their feelings.
Jesus.
I have found balance. I don't want to mess with it. I'd rather give someone else their way than create a scene. You done already accept the foolishness going on in your life. Because you don't want to create a scene. Where they do that at? You are the scene, I guess, huh? So you don't want nobody else to feel no discomfort? But you'd rather live in discomfort? That's called martyrism.
Martyrism.
Huh? You're going to take it just so you can save somebody else. Huh? I'm trying to tell y'all. Ooh, these things just got my toes on fire. The avoider. Oh my goodness. Y'all ready for the next one? No, I'm not. I'm not ready. Let me take some more water. I can't. I can't do it. Let me drink some water because this one right here. Ooh, my. Hypervigilant. Continues intense anxiety about all the dangers and what could go wrong. Always anxious. Always chronically doubting, always extraordinarily sensitive to danger signals, constant expectation of mishap and danger. I mean, have you ever seen some people that no matter what you say, they say, well, if that happens, then I'm just afraid to go outside because I may catch COVID from the mailbox. Well, I don't want to be in a relationship. Let me just be by myself. Because all men hurt women. And I don't want to be hurt, so I'm just not going to have a relationship at all. They don't have no hope. Like, everything is always the worst thing that could ever happen.
My God.
I'm not going to the movies. Because when you're in the movies, there's only two ways out. And I don't want to get caught up in there. Somebody might shoot the movies up while I'm in there. Okay, where they shot the movies up was all the way in California. You down here in North Carolina talking about they probably going to shoot the movies up. I'm not going to the movies. Everything you think about is destitute. If somebody be nice to you, what do they want? Why they not?
Suspicious, my God.
Why are you so kind to me? Yeah. I'm gonna tell you right now, you're not getting none. I don't play no games. Back up. Back it on up. I don't play no games with you. Hypervigilant. Here's the thoughts. Here's the thoughts of a hypervigilant person. When is the other shoe going to drop? You know, I'm guilty. Things could be going wonderful in my marriage. Now, you know Sharon gonna keep it 1,000 with you, right?
Come on, yeah. Uh-uh. Don't tell
me. I drink water when it's getting ready to get tricky. All right. I'm gonna tell the truth about it. So, I've been complaining about, you know, getting in and out of my car. I just was like, Lord, I'm tired of peeling in and peeling out of this vehicle. I want to step up and step down. I need an SUV, God. I'm tired of this car. Now, I have a nice car. I have a beautiful black Volkswagen Passat TDI-SE. And that's another story. I'll tell you about that some other time. So, convocation was started Wednesday. Today is Saturday, right? Wednesday night, when I got home, and I live in Winston, convocation is here, prayer, praise, and deliverance. And we're going to have another absolutely great day tomorrow from our bishop elect, our prelect. So if y'all aren't doing anything, come on down to 2101, Freeman Mill Road.
Go ahead, child.
But let me tell you about what happened Wednesday night. Wednesday night, I'm rolling up in my driveway, and there's a car in the driveway. Now, when I say rolling up in the driveway, it ain't daytime, it's nighttime. It's about 10:30. Why is there a car in my driveway at 10:30 at night? Don't nobody living there with me and my husband. What's happening? What's going on? Who's in my house? You know how we do?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. So I'm tipping in the house. I done put the key in slow. I done put the key in slow and turned it slow and opened the door slow. Huh? And then I walk in, the first floor is still dark. Huh? So I'm tipping up the stairs. Because in my mind, I'm about to catch some foolishness going on. Huh? Hypervigilant. Everything always the worst scenario, right?
Yeah.
Huh? I'm tipping. I get in my bedroom.
What the heck?
My husband is asleep and snoring. And I said, honey, who's that BMW outside? He said, oh, baby, that's your car.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wait a minute. Whose car? He said, I bought that car for you. I said, have you done lost all your complete mind? What you done done? Hypervigilant. What you done done that I get a whole entire BMW? Huh? Hypervigilant. Hypervigilant. I mean, he done passed the flowers. You know, some men, when they feel good, they get you the flowers, right? He done bought the whole car. Huh? Waiting on that foot, that shoe, the other shoe, to drop, right? Everything going good in your marriage, and you just looking for something to go wrong. Hypervigilant. I'm telling you. I want to trust people, but I find myself suspicious of their motives.
My Lord. My
That's how I hypervigilant think. I want to trust, but yeah. You a man. Everything that ever looked like y'all hurt me, I'm not trusting y'all no farther than I can throw you. I need to know what the rules are. Although I might not always follow them, I need to know up front what you want, why you want it. Tell me all of it, and then let me decide whether or not I want to deal with you. Huh? I'm telling you, I'm a hot mess. Anybody else a hot mess with me?
My Lord Jesus. Amen.
Huh? Anybody else a hot mess? This is what's keeping. These are generational curses. This is how we are teaching our children. When you act a certain way, your children are looking at you. They don't do as you say. They do as you do. They do. Excuse me. I drink some more water. I told you that was going to choke me up. I tell you the truth sometimes, listen, the truth sometimes don't always feel good, but it can help you if you take that information and know that that's the reason why you're not where you want to be with God.
Amen.
That's right. God, why don't I hear from you? Well, am I being a controller, a stickler? Am I being a victim, a hyper-rational? Am I being hyper-achiever, a pleaser, a border? Am I being hyper-vigilant? What am I doing that's keeping you from wanting to be in relationship with me, God? What am I doing that's keeping people from walking in my doors of my church? What did I do to make a church, a new church member just got here and not ever want to show up again? What did I do?
Jesus.
Generational curses. Church hurt. We're doing things and we don't realize what we're doing because we say, well, God knew I was like that. That's how I am. Last one, y'all ready?
Yes.
I know it's deep, I promise you. I'm 6'1", well, they told me I was 5'11", I lost 2 inches somewhere. I turned 53, y'all, and 2 inches just went.
Yep.
I'm 5'11 now. Right now, I'm up to my chest in this information. It's deep.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I want y'all to pay attention. Whatever's keeping you from fulfilling on your calling, and you do know what it is. Let me tell you something. I have always known that I was going to lead women. I always knew that. Since I was a child. But I didn't want the responsibility.
My Lord.
I always knew that I had a ministry in me, but I didn't want the responsibility. I always knew that. Now the question I have for all of us, is it worth your soul for you to stay comfortable, be disobedient, indulge the world, and not take God's at his word and take on the responsibility that you've been given since birth to even come here?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Is it worth it?
My God, come on.
Is it worth it? Are you happy? I can tell you right now, ask yourself, am I happy? And if that answer's no, I can guarantee you're not walking in your calling. Mm. Mm. And you're choosing not to because you don't want the responsibility. Last one.
My God, in the name of Jesus.
Before I tackle this last one, I'm going to straighten up these papers over here. This last one, how am I going to drink some more water on that? I'm going to tell y'all something. I promise you, I have always been insecure. Always thinking about why would somebody ask me to come and speak to over 2,000 people on a particular topic? Why would somebody want me to be their life coach? Why would somebody ask me to come in and train their congregation? Why would they do that? Mm-hmm. I do not, listen, let me tell y'all something. stuttering over words, when you get nervous, not knowing 100% of this here Bible, like the back of my hand, and then you want me to go talk to some church folk? Huh? What you talking about? What you mean I'm going to speak at convocation? Evangelism is something I just found out was something I was doing. What you mean? I mean, they don't know me. Mm-hmm. Why would you ask me to come and do? Mm-hmm. Listen, if God opens a door, walk through it. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is want to, and the how to will be given to you.
Amen, amen, uh-huh. Amen.
Uh-huh. It will. Mm-hmm. You don't already have to know. Do you know that there's some people right now won't come to church because they think they got to be saved before they get to church?
Ain't that the truth?
I'm not ready yet. Well, I still ain't where I need to be. Well, how you going to get there?
My God. I got to quit going this
easy. I got to quit drinking first. Why?
My Lord, come on.
When did they say that?
My Lord.
Well, I got to quit fornicating first.
Heard that so much.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. God, this is the hospital and God is a surgeon. Why do you think you got to be perfect to come up in a church? Mm-hmm. That's an illusion. Mm-hmm. The devil got you believing in illusion. Mm-hmm. The last one, that's why Sharon getting choked. It's a little bit. Mm-mm. All right, enemy, leave me alone. Amen. The last one. Restless. Restless, constantly in search of a greater excitement in the next activity or constant busyness. Mm. Rarely at peace or content with the current activity. Ooh. Ooh, restless. Constantly in search of great excitement in the next activity. Or constantly busy. Yeah, I've seen anybody can't even sit down. They just constantly busy. They gotta be doing something. They gotta be moving. They gotta, and you know, I mean, I'm gonna talk about my mom because I love her death. But I promise you, she the only busy retired person I know. I mean, she get up every day with a list of stuff she got to do, and I'm like, Mom, why you gotta do that? You're retired.
I'm raising my hand today.
Why do you have to do all of that? We are talking 10. I mean, listen, she got a list to check out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm like, Mama, what? Wait a minute. Are you still getting paid? Maybe there's something I don't know. You know, maybe she got a side hustle. I don't know nothing about it. Every day, Brenda get up with a list of things to do. And upset when she don't get it all done. Mm. She retired. Characteristics. Easily distracted and can get too scattered. Stays busy, juggling many different tasks and plans. Seeks excitement and variety, not comfort or safety. Mm. Bounces from unpleasant feelings very quickly. Seeks constant new stimulation. Here's what the restless characteristic does. This is what we think. Oh, this isn't fulfilling. I'm bored. I need to be doing something. Mm-hmm. The next thing has got to be more exciting than what I'm doing right now. These negative feelings suck. I need to get on to something else. I must shift my attention to something exciting. Why can't anyone keep up with me? Mm-hmm. I do more than most folks do. I do more by 12 o'clock than most folks do all day. That's the restless characteristics. But that same person ain't diligently in that word. Mm-hmm. Huh?
That same one.
That same restlessness ain't that. Sharon ain't picked up the word yet. The word ain't on the list. Huh? Getting in that word ain't on the list. Going to the grocery store, making sure to get this done, making sure to get everything else, but staying in the word of God. Huh?
All right.
Restlessness. Now, these nine things that share, that's already a part of our DNA, we already have these things. And again, the overindulgence of any one of these is what creates separation between you and your maker. Because what he wants us to do is focus. He wants us to be diligent about obedience. He wants us to be diligent about what example we're setting for our children and our children's children and our children's children's children, which is called generations. But if we have any of this stuff that I just mentioned to the 10 power, we are teaching our kids to do and be the same way. So if you have two faces, you know, Sharon know about them faces. You know, you got a church face. You got a home face. You got a work face. And then you got a social face. Huh? God is trying to get all them faces to be the same face. But right now, we got a whole bunch of faces.
A whole lot of faces.
So God don't know which one to trust.
Lord have mercy, Jesus.
Huh? I showed you nine faces. And we probably have more than that. Now I want you to take this particular information. And I'll be happy if you email me or call me. I'll be happy to get you this information. Sharon, this seohop@gmail.com if you want to email me, and I'll email it to you. But just know that generational curses are real. Know that Sharon, is the culprit of continuing to perpetuate the general curses. If I do not look at this information and inspect, because you can't expect until you inspect. And if you're not willing to check out your relationship with God, you are going to keep perpetuating the non-relationship that you don't have, that you want everybody to believe that you do. So all I'm asking you is to just take a moment to say, God, reveal to me whatever's keeping you from me and me from you. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.